And Father, thanks for this team that is heading out to Ethiopia. And I, together with the church, just want to raise them up to you, to lift them up in their preparations. I pray that you would be going ahead of them with all the details that are still to be worked through. I pray that you would just really guide in that and prepare their path for them. Father, I especially pray for the Regals with this extended time in Ethiopia and Uganda. Father, just care for them and use them in there. Give them wisdom as they prepare for this time, as they to know how to reach these kids. And for each of the team members as they go, Lord, for the Schuerts and for the Gibbons and for James Duncan, Lord, I pray that that you would really prepare their hearts and prepare the ministry for them that they have there. And Father, for us as a church with this search for a family ministry's pastor, Lord, I pray that you would give wisdom to the search team, that you would guide these interviews, and that you would choose the right person for this church. You know who it is already, and I pray that you would just make that clear to us. Father, this morning as Margaret Archer comes, I pray that that you would really speak through her to our hearts. Prepare us, Lord, and open our ears to hear to what you would have to speak through her. Thanks for this morning, Lord, and just bless this time.
Amen. Well, this morning we have a special treat, and Margaret is an unsung, she'd hate me saying this, but she is an unsung hero of Country Hills Church. She gets involved where many others do not. Much of the decorations, flowers, teaching Sunday school, amongst all sorts of other things, she does quietly, faithfully, and with a pure heart and a smile. And she shared some of what you'll hear this morning at Adult Fellowship last month, and after she did, I thought it was really important that we all hear this as well. So would you welcome her as she comes?
Okay. First, I'd just like to thank Pastor Jeremy for inviting me here to say a few words today. And I thank you all for coming. Someone said to me a few weeks ago, if you're feeling nervous up there, just pretend we're all angels. Well, you know, that would be a real stretch of the imagination. Anyways, statistics show that after 20 minutes, your audience doesn't really absorb too much. You know, they start scratching their head, they start moving around, they start yawning. Some of them even rest their eyes. Now, I'm going to try to keep you awake. I've got no promises there, but I'm going to try to keep you awake. First, I'd like to tell you a little about myself and about my life. I was born in the eastern townships of Quebec. We lived on a a big old farm. I was number 8 of 10 children. And back then, you know, life was different then. We were wild and we were free. And we were just, it was just, life was very, very simple. And I've heard the saying that you can take the child out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the child. It's always been that way for me, and I am still a country bumpkin. During those childhood young years, I developed a love for the outdoors. I love gardening, I love animals, and I also have a real respect for nature. Then, and even now, I had a real fascination for stones. Now, I know there's collectors here, there's people here that collect different things. Some of you collect stamps, some of you collect coins, maybe salt and pepper shakers. But I could be called a stone collector. Okay. Now, when I was 16, I came to Ontario to live with my older sister and to get some work. And then, on a few years later, I met and married that special someone in my life. But you know, there are tragedies and there are heartaches in life. And before too long, I found myself raising my 4 daughters by myself. I had a good job, but even then, there were times that were really, really tough. And you know, raising those 4 daughters was not a picnic. However, during those years, God provided, just as he promised. And you know, you hear that angels walk among us. Well, in those years, bringing up the girls, I really come to believe that angels walk among us because so many people helped us along the way. When my youngest daughter decided to go to university in British Columbia, I was on my own, and I met and married my present husband, Derek. And now Derek and I have 11 grandkids and 1 great. We are truly blessed. A little while ago, I mentioned my fascination for stones, and today I have chosen these particular stones to represent areas that God has placed in my heart and in my life. Now this first stone, smooth, perfect, no flaws, never had any problems. It just seemed too good to be true. And you know, in our younger lives, sometimes we think about what our future is going to be. We would like to have a great marriage. We would like to have good job, lots of money, and of course, perfect children. Okay, but you know, as I read, David chose 5 smooth stones to slay Goliath, and I thought that was great for him. But you know, sometimes the stones that God gives us in our lives are definitely not smooth. And I guess it just really depends on what you do with the stones that the Lord puts in your life. You know, stones can make you stumble or provide a strong foothold. Those stones in our lives can make a beautiful picture or a mess of rocks to stumble over. Guess it just depends on what you do with the stones that the Lord puts in your life. In reality, throughout our lives, we experience illness, accidents, death in the family, marriage breakups, wayward children. You know, it just goes on and on. For you seniors, you know, because you've been there. Just excuse me a sec, I got to put my glasses on. The second stone I have chosen is a stone of trial and heartaches. It's full of cracks, it's beaten up and weathered. It sounds like some of us. And it brings to my mind a personal trial that the Lord has recently placed in my life. On a scale of about 1 to 10, I swear it measured about a 15. My life was moving along quite nicely. I had nothing to complain about. Until last May, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. You know, that was not in my plans. The very last thing on my mind, for me, a healthy, energetic person who fast walked every morning for an hour, volunteered, I had a part-time job, and I bowled on a league. I didn't have time for cancer. It was a great inconvenience. The Lord and I had some serious discussions over that in the days ahead. I prayed for a mistake, but to no avail. I had cancer. I was angry and upset. Sleeping was very difficult during the following weeks. During the day, I put up a really good front for my friends and family. But in the nighttime, the sleepless nights, I was terrified. Then one night, after much struggling, this verse came to my mind that calmed my fears and quieted my spirit. Job 20:11. I know what plans I have for you, not plans to hurt you. I will give you hope and a good future. It was then that I put whatever was to be in God's hands. My first appointment with a surgeon went okay, but he let me know that he had to go on his holidays for a couple of weeks. And you know, that waiting time was difficult. But I had already accepted the fact that of what was going to be ahead. The operation went well, and I was sent home the same day. Everything went smoothly until my appointment with the chemotherapy oncologist. That was the day I gave the doctors permission to poison my body every couple of weeks. These treatments caused me to experience the darkest days of my life. So often there was just Jesus and me. And many times it seemed it was just me. It was a very, very lonely time. Again, I leaned heavily on his promise, I will never leave you or forsake you. Especially when I developed hives due to a combination of steroids, chemotherapy, and antibiotics, for a time I lost myself and my mind completely. My daughters came and took me to their home until I was mentally stable again and ready for the next treatment. There's a cute quote here. Of all the things I've lost, I missed my mind the most. Next came 25 radiation treatments, 5 weeks, every weekday. These treatments zapped all my strength and energy. In December, I was finished the treatments and soon started to feel human again. The healing is a very slow process and still, in fact, happening. Sometimes I become very, very tired for no apparent reasons, and I have a lot of side effects from the chemotherapy. Cancer is a terrible disease. It can do many hurtful things to us. But I'd like to read to you a few things that cancer cannot do. Cancer is limited. It cannot cripple love. It cannot shatter hope, corrode faith, eat away peace. It cannot destroy confidence. And it cannot kill friendship. Cancer is very limited. It cannot shut out memories. It cannot silence courage. It cannot invade the soul. It cannot reduce eternal life. And it cannot quench the spirit. And it cannot lessen the power of the resurrection. The source of these words is apparently unknown, but it is so, so true. However, I found a humorous side to cancer. Saved me a bit of money. I couldn't eat, so grocery bill was small. No shampoo. No hair dye. No bad hair. Okay. No bad hair days. They were all no hair days. But you know, after all those happening, I can still do a full day's work. It only takes me a week. I'm really having a lot of problems with my short-term memory. I seem to miss appointments, mess up days, forget my friends' names. Doctor says it will get better with time. My husband thinks I have a selective memory. In our house, if someone's having a shower, you do not turn on the kitchen tap. Well, you know, I've forgotten that a few times. And you know, it sure makes him sing and dance. I said to him, just pretend you're learning a brand new dance step. And as for trials, do you know that God can change your trials to treasures? And your sorrows to unspeakable joy. He can put a song in your heart. He can give you hope. He can put a spring in your step. And you know, maybe a permanent smile on your face. Ask me. He did it all for me, and much, much more. So when we're beyond ourselves, sometimes we have to trust in God. This third stone is a stone of thankfulness. There are so many times in our life when we are so, so thankful for things, the many things that other people have done for us. And also, we are so thankful what the Lord does for us every single day. And now I say thank you again for all the love and support I received during my recent illness. My family, my church family, my friends, my neighbors helped to get me through. You stood by me. You were there during those darkest days, sharing laughter and tears. You were there. You know, at my very lowest, the phone would ring, and it would be Pastor Jeremy or Pastor Henry calling to check on my well-being and to pray with me, which was so uplifting. And also, I had my own private book lady who constantly supplied me with reading material. From the bottom of my heart, I thank you all. Fourth stone is a stone of caring. Where is your heart? For seniors in the golden years, we need each other now more than we ever did before. We can help each other in many, many ways. Perhaps take someone to their doctor appointments, perhaps visit nursing homes, perhaps just spending time and enjoying each other's company. I mentioned that to a lady a while ago. I said, the golden years, and she said, golden years? Only gold around here is in my teeth. Well, you know. And then for those people in there, oh no, just a moment, I mustn't forget our age. after 70, we've been there, done that. We know it all. We just can't remember it all at once. For those of you in your 50s, how about taking the grandkids for a couple of days to give your children a break? Or for young couples and young marriages with kids, have play dates and take turns babysitting, maybe take grandma shopping. Whatever age you are in, there are many, many ways of caring. Did you take a little time today to speak encouraging words to someone that you know is hurting? Did you make that phone call today to give someone a kind word? Or did you pray for someone today? How about a hug? Or maybe the touch that says, I care. I've heard it said that it's the thought that counts. But I believe it's the deed done that counts. Remember, Jesus said, what you do unto the least of these, you do unto me. We're called by God to help each other along life's way and not to judge another if we've never walked in their shoes. This stone I call the stone of the future. We all have a future. The more you complain, the longer God lets you live. I'm really counting on that one. Seriously, now. I don't know what the future holds for me personally, but with the greatest confidence, I know who holds my future. Oh yes, there is another stone. It's the chief cornerstone, And that, dear friends, is Jesus Christ. I leave you with this confirmation, Ephesians 1:20. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. I hope you have enjoyed our time together as I have. And may God bless you richly, bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Margaret. And I'm sure if you'd like to have a better look at those stones or talk to her more afterwards, she'd love to do that. We're going to head into a time of communion. But just before we do that, I just wanted to share a little bit about Margaret. And just seeing what God has done in her. And being able to look out on each one of your faces and know that whatever storms or trials, whatever God has for you, that we've seen him do it and many people before, and this morning we've had opportunity to hear from Margaret firsthand what Jesus can do with a heart that's maybe not even so willing or open. Sometimes he just moves us there and he does the work. And the difference I see in Margaret is someone who before loved Jesus and served Jesus. But that's no comparison to someone who walks with Jesus and has Jesus fully in her. And there's just a glow to you, Margaret. And if you haven't had opportunity or have never taken the chance to believe in Jesus, to decide to follow him, what better time than this morning? Communion is not closed to those who attend Country Hills Church. It is open to those who believe in and follow Jesus. And if that's you, then this morning we have time to commune, to spend time with God, to say, thank you, Jesus, for rising again, that you might take the death in me, whether that's cancer or sin or bad circumstances, whatever those things may be, and replace them with your life and your joy. And this morning, as we come to the Lord's table, I'll ask the servers to come forward. I ask that would be on your heart and your mind. Come on forward, servers.